Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare. The good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. We also bring on a variety of business owners, community advocates, nonprofits, to talk all things healthy versus unhealthy in business and life. Today, I'm excited. I don't know if you are or not, by the way. She's like giving me this death stare right now.
I'm excited. As always,
Trey's over there on the microphone, too. We got Joey Jansen. But your title is Director of People and Culture, right? And what company do you work with?
I work with the Savannah Bananas.
I've never heard of them.
You've never heard of the Savannah Bananas, so you must not be on social media.
I'm obviously kidding. I have young children. Anyone who has not heard of the Savannah Bananas lives under a rock. I am convinced. I've never seen a sports franchise. I don't know if you call it a franchise or a team grow in popularity as much as you guys have, but we're going to talk a lot about healthy cultures, crazy growth, right? What you've seen. So let's start there. How long have you been with them? You're one of the first four employees.
I am.
Tell me the story.
Totally. So I joined the Bananas in 2015, straight out of school, and was so lucky to be able to get to know Emily and Jesse very early on and just fall in love with the vision that they were painting for going to Savannah and really breathing life back into a stadium where baseball just hadn't had success over the last, 10, 15, 20 years, right? And so, yeah, I've gotten to see it from day one and just really have enjoyed seeing it grow.
Where did you go to college? Was it Gardner-Webb?
Gardner-Webb, yep.
And that's in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
So wasn't the team originally based in North Carolina?
So we owned another team right outside of Charlotte in Gastonia, North Carolina. And so that was how I got connected with them. I had a college advisor that had placed interns with them in the past. And so when they knew they wanted to start a team in Savannah and kind of had started having those conversations, they were looking for that first, team of staff members that would go with them to do that. And obviously fresh grads are the best way to
cheap hires.
Exactly. You really don't know any better. So teaching from the ground up and you're super hungry, you're excited about the new opportunity and you'll pretty much say yes to anything. And so
oh, that's so accurate. We talked briefly, was it last week? I can't remember, like a little prep call. You'd mentioned you're like, I'll be here for 2 years.
Yep.
Right out of college. Yep. Well, I get my master's and then I'm moving on.
Yep. I was working my master's online and figured that this would be something that I could kind of do while I did school in the evenings. And it would be an adventure to live outside of where I had grown up, to do something new and different. I never would have imagined that Savannah would truly become home. And 8.5, 9 years later, we're still there.
Goodness gracious, time flies. Trey's ready to chime in already. What you got?
No. I just, what was going to be your play if you did just do 2 years?
Yeah, absolutely. So I studied sport management and business, and then I got my MBA. I wanted to do more on the college athletic side in like the compliance department. Very
that
different.
Sounds like
very different. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So early on, you saw that. So Emily and Jesse, they're the husband and wife, owners, the guy in the yellow tux again. For anyone, everybody knows. Like, I would have to explain this. You said early on you saw what they were like, what you felt it, you knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Can you share some stories about that?
Absolutely. So in full transparency, baseball is not my sport. It is not what I enjoyed watching growing up. It's not something that I really understood the rules at all. In fact, when I told my parents that I was going to go work for a baseball team, they were incredibly confused. And
what was your sport?
I played soccer and ran cross country and track and swam, but I like watching football. Like, okay. I am an NFL, let's watch those games.
So you're a Jaguars fan, right?
Something like that.
Oh, we're gonna convert you to a Jags.
I'll say sure. but yeah, so I baseball was just not something that I ever had gotten into. Right, it truly was my grandfather's sport, and through talking to Emily and Jesse, it was just so evident that it was about more than that for them. Like, yes, that's what's going on, and yes, there's people who are gonna enjoy the traditional aspects of that. There's also so many other things that you can add into it that just make it fun and keep it entertaining. And it can be something that your grandfather can do also with, the kids that are in high school, or with the, mom that, recently lost her husband. There's so that you can make it a family environment.
Oh, yeah.
And figure out ways to entertain people and really control the things that you can control. Because you can't always control what happens on the field, but you can control the entertainment, you control the experience. And it was just really cool to hear their vision for that. And I was just drawn to it.
Early on, were they like, hey, we're gonna dance, we're gonna light bats on fire?
Like, yep. That's A lot of the, the initial pieces started in Gastonia. Like, they had done, when you talk about the Bananas and you see the growth, and a lot of people have found out in the last couple years, but it's truly been 10, 15 years of Emily and Jesse going through the ideation and understanding, like, you know, what being fans first means, right? They started Fans First Entertainment. That's the name of our company.
That's the
well before, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
First.
Well before the Bananas were even a thought, right? So Fans First Entertainment owned the Grizzlies, owned a couple other teams in the league that we had been in, and all had that focus on the entertainment. They did, you know, grandma beauty pageants and flatulence fun nights. And yeah. And I mean, Jesse originally, his tuxedo was black. Like, he did that in Gastonia because those were their colors, and then realized that in Charlotte, North Carolina in July, wearing a tuxedo during one game is
brutal.
A nightmare. So went with yellow, looked up how to get yellow instead of black just to try and be a little bit cooler. And it ended up being that thing that made you different, you know? And so, yeah, stuff that had kind of happened prior to the Bananas even being a thing laid so many of the ideas and the foundations of where we've taken it and gone to now.
You said you started in 2015, right?
Yes.
So you're almost there 10 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What year is it?
Yeah.
I don't math so good, Bob. So early on, like you talk about this too, you were one of the first four employees, right? Now there's about 50 full-time employees, not including the players. I want to talk
correct.
About that too, like that
yep.
rapid growth. So early yep. on, let's talk about duct tape, right? I want you to share the envelope
sure.
story. Because like anyone who started a business,
yeah.
whatever it is, like you go through these growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
What are some that you dealt with?
Totally. I mean, you know, when you're starting a small business, like everybody wears so many different hats, right? It's really hard to get narrow and deep and specialized because you need teams of generalists. Like you need people who can wear several different caps and do them good enough, right?
Like a party animal hat and a banana
hat. A party animal and a bananas hat, exactly.
Yeah.
And so being able to you know, juggle all those things, kind of keep it afloat. As you start to grow and you're able to get more specialized and play to people's strengths, you have those chances to maybe not quite lean on the duct tape, right? So the duct tape story is, or not story, but example is that, you know, we would try to figure anything out we could and we had zero budget, you know, coupon with the best of them. And so a lot of times you're fixing stuff with duct tape and it doesn't look pretty, it doesn't look great, but you know, it kind of works, right? As you grow, as you're able to really kind of figure out, okay, what's working, what's not working, and start investing in the right types of things, you can still think with that like duct tape resourcefulness mindset without actually having to just fix things with duct tape.
Yeah.
You can buy the things that are nicer, are going to last longer if you take care of them. You can pay to have things fixed if they do get broken. You know, like you can do those types of things, but you can't just frivolously spend and say, hey, we're actually going to get like we don't need an Aston Martin to take our trash out, right? A golf cart will do, you know, like stuff like that. And so figuring out how you can fix things and be resourceful.
Are you officially using self-sealing envelopes now?
So when we were pretty early on, we had partners that we worked with locally. And one of the promotions we did was you get a first 100 people, first 1,000 people in the stadium would get a mystery envelope. And we were on such a tight budget that where we saved money was selecting to
cheap
have
envelopes.
Yeah, the lick and stick envelopes instead of the self-seal. And so hours were spent on my living room floor with a glass of wine sealing envelopes because that's just what we were doing. And looking back, probably would have realized the extra $300 was worth it.
How many glasses of wine per person?
You know, that's a great question.
Is it like a bottle of wine we're talking about or a single glass of wine?
Certainly just a couple.
I think these stories are so cool because you don't, the Savannah Bananas, again, are just everywhere.
Right? Now.
I wrote these numbers down. 1.8 million followers on Facebook, 2.3 million followers on Instagram, over a million on YouTube, 190K on X, formerly Twitter, right? 8 million on TikTok. I'm not on any of these things. That's crazy, right?
It's pretty wild.
And then do the players kind of run their own social medias as
yep.
well?
So we work with them on, you know, what are things that are working, what are things that are not working. We've got ways that we talk to them about, like, hey, what are things that are appropriate to post, what's not appropriate to post, and work them through some of those types of things. But they're so encouraged to create content and to show their personalities and become characters that people can really fall in love with. And not characters that they're putting on something new that's not them.
Yeah.
But embracing those different eccentricities and uniqueness about them.
Do you ever have to lecture any of them? Like, let's not do that.
We have to have hard conversations, sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's few and far in between. I think that we do a really good time on the or really good job on the front end of laying the foundation for what the expectation is and really what the heart behind what we're doing is. And for the most part, folks that don't get that aren't attracted to being part of our team.
Yeah, so we talked about that too. I love that. Does this have to do with healthcare? No, not at all.
We're gonna
know healthy.
That's all right.
So, yeah, sometimes it doesn't have to do with healthcare. But so early on, right? Four employees, you mentioned you moved up to 10, and then at one point you had to kind of cut back four people left.
Yeah.
Because they weren't part of that. Like, you're moving fast, right? You're constantly evolving, and you're doing crazy stuff. Yep. Like, how'd you deal with that?
Yeah, initially, you know, you're running on so much excitement and so much just enthusiasm of, hey, we're starting something new. This is really crazy. It's going to be really challenging while we're getting started. Once we get our feet underneath us, we're going to settle into a stride and it's going to become, you know, rinse and repeat, right? We learned a year or two in that we're not the kind of company that rinse and repeat really works, right? Like, we are constantly going to be striving to, hey, what's that next thing that we can do for our fans? And because of that, there is a lot of change. There is a lot of us, you know, putting our foot on the gas pedal and really saying, hey, we got to go for it. And I think that in that time frame, some folks realize, like, hey, maybe that pace or that rapid changes and feeling like there's always another thing going on wasn't for them. And that's totally fine. You have to be able to have that understanding for yourself of what's healthy for you or what's not healthy for you. And so we were able to, I think we just had a period that felt like there was, it was just very weird because you're a really close-knit group of people. You only have 10, 12 people who work there. And when four leave, that's 20%, 25%, you know?
40%.
40%.
I don't math. Great. I should have listened on that one.
But yeah, so it felt really kind of shocking in that moment. And when you're so close to people, it's your friends.
Yep.
But then also realizing that that's okay, that they made those decisions. And honestly, like, it allowed us to get more clear on what the things that, like, who are we and who are we not? And yeah.
I love that too, right? So we, 212 Benefits, we have, what, 17 employees now? 17, and we work with companies of all size, right? Some have 300 employees, one have 500. But that's the same thing for us, like setting clear expectations early on. And everyone that's left our business, it's really never been on bad terms.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, hey, it's okay. You don't want to work in this industry. Let us help you find a career else.
Sure.
So that's part of what you do, your hiring process, setting expectations early on. Yep. Have you ever had to fire anyone?
Totally. Yep. Yeah. It's not fun. It's really hard. It's really emotional because we do care so much.
Yeah.
And you, when you have those conversations, it's never, as much as you try to prepare people, we have plans for growth and things that we meet with people very regularly and kind of figure out how we can rehab situations, I suppose. But there's, you know, no one ever expects today's the day that conversation is going to happen. Yeah. And so it's really challenging. It definitely does happen. It's something that you try to employ, you know, a ton of empathy through, but it's also, we're running a business, you know,
business.
There are certain things that sometimes it's just not the right fit. And yeah, they're hard conversations.
So we're sitting in Jacksonville, Florida, right? Your stadium's in Savannah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the world tour.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, can you say Duval? Have you heard people say that yet?
I have.
She's not going to do it.
I haven't been practicing.
Let's hear it.
It's
Duval. I don't even like saying it there. I do like to make people say that. So the world tour, did that start last year or the year before?
We started the one city world tour. We tested it out in 2021 in Mobile, Alabama.
Okay.
2022, we did 7 or 8 stops, 6 cities, a couple times in Savannah. And then last year was the first year that we went all in on, we are exclusively doing the world tour. We still played our 30 home games in Savannah, but we toured from 30 home games in Savannah. We toured from February through September and hit 33 other cities last year.
What's on the docket this year? How many cities?
This year's 25 cities, but okay, we have 6 MLB stadiums. So we're able to actually play in front of more fans this year, even though we're playing in less cities.
Aren't you guys playing in Fenway?
We are playing in Fenway.
Oh, Joey's flying up there for that.
Right?
Are you thinking about it?
I completely forgot they were, but
yes. It's Houston next week.
Texting my cousin.
Again, yep.
East Oxford.
So
next week's the first Major League Baseball.
Next week's the first
Major League. I mean, I should mention too, we're sitting in the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp Stadium. We love it here, but it's a different feel at a Major League Baseball stadium for sure.
Honestly, I don't think we know what to expect yet. You know, I'm assuming it's going to be different. Of course, it's going to be different. Playing in front of 30, 40,000 people.
Is it sold out? Like, do you know the ticket sales?
Yep.
Joey's ready to chime in again, too. We're like nerds
what,
over here.
What prompted the baseball stadium? Was it Cooperstown, or is that always on the game plan for the future, or did it just kind of evolve?
What do you mean, play in larger stadiums?
Yeah, playing in the MLB stadiums.
Yeah, honestly.
Did it come from Cooperstown?
It did. It comes from our fans. Like, there's so many people who want to see the events going on, and that's the best way for us to engage as many people as possible. We've figured out ways that we can play in stadiums that have 10 and 15,000 people, and it's awesome. It's great. It's an intimate show. But we're doing it three nights a weekend, and it's still not the same number of people that we could impact as if we would play one night a weekend in an MLB stadium. And so We, you know, obviously you're really particular about knowing that in Houston specifically, we played in Sugar Land last year right outside of Houston. And the number of folks that were so interested, we knew based off those numbers that we could fill up Minute Maid Park. And so that's part of why we started asking those questions of, hey, what do it look like for us to play there?
What are some of the challenges going from a smaller venue to a bigger venue for you guys?
Totally. So specifically moving from playing in Savannah, where we only have 5,000 seats this year. We added more this year. Only have 5,000 seats, to trying to play in a stadium where there is, you know, 10 times more people, 8 times more.
Let's
people.
Do some math.
Math. I think it's 8. We're having
some conversations here today.
Which is really embarrassing because I do have a math minor, so I should be good at it. I am not. It's been a while. But yeah, so making that adjustment, the biggest thing is making every single person feel like they are connected to the show that's going on. And so we don't have a video board in Savannah. It's something that we felt like we were able to give that more intimate experience. People can see what's going on. There's not a bad seat in the house at the MLB stadium. So we have to focus on that Dumbotron and how are we making sure that our show translates to that so that the people in those upper levels are still having that experience. We're really excited about it because those stadiums are going to have incredible sound systems. They're going to have good video boards. They're going to have all the technology that we need to make that adjustment. But it is something that is different than what historically has been what makes our show different.
So,
go ahead, Trey.
Can you add new elements with a bigger venue because you have more space?
Oh, yeah. We're going to try new stuff for sure.
Okay.
Explosions.
The pyrotechs.
Not healthy, by the way.
Definitely. And we try new things at every place that we're going. Our entertainment team is incredible with the ideation that they have. They have certain goals for how many new things they test every game. They're not afraid of failure. They're not afraid of something just kind of going wrong. Either we adjust and fix it for the next time or we just don't do it again. And so there will always be new stuff no matter what, you know, whether it's night one in a place or it's night three in a place, there's going to be something different about the show. Definitely have the chance to explore what different types of stages could look like. We talk about the different stages that we have. It's not just the one that's set up in the plaza and it's not just the field, but there's other areas that can be those kind of anchor points for where entertainment can happen. And so at bigger stadiums, there's more opportunities for that. There's also more pressure to make sure that that show isn't just on one stage.
Explosions.
People are everywhere.
Yeah. Explosions. That's the key to fit, you know, if
that's
you have any
kids. Yeah.
And good looking men.
Oh, he sees.
You know,
he keeps making comments. I'm like, my wife follows all of them.
All of our wives are obsessed.
I said, my wife, she loves the singing and dancing. No, she doesn't. She likes the attractive young men. Let's talk about, so again, it is a business. I think you're well known for a guy running around in a yellow tux, right? The Savannah Nanas, is that what they're called?
Yep, the Bananas.
Banana Nanas. Like, again, there's all this quirky stuff. But the business on the backside, right? You have a lot of staff. Walk me through the division. So what's the entertainment team? How many people?
Totally.
Like, they're just in an office, like, brainstorming. I think of a scene.
Yeah.
You ever seen A Beautiful Mind where the guy's, like, drawing lines together?
Yeah. So our entertainment team, from a full-time standpoint, only has 4 or 5 folks on it. But we have, you know, over 40 cast members. We've got all the players are considered part of our entertainment as well because they get in on the action and fun. And so there's tons of different people. We don't ever say, you know, no to someone coming up with ideas. Anybody can come up with a good idea and let's work through what that could look like. We try not to surprise ourselves in some senses of, you know, totally going off the rails and doing something that we didn't tell anybody about. So we do talk through stuff.
We have some, exactly.
Like it just give us a chance to prepare for it, right? Good example. This is actually really funny. A couple years ago, the Party Animals were missing when it was time for their lineup to be announced before a game. Could not find them. Our entertainment director is just freaking
like couldn't
out.
Find the team.
Could not find the whole team. No one in the locker room. No one in the dugout. Our PA announcer Shark is about to start going through the roster and announcing them. All of a sudden, we hear screaming from the outfield. They start vaulting over the fence in the outfield and like charge in. Like this is Sparta, right? Like freaking out. And everyone is like, oh my gosh, get a camera over there, capture it, you know, trying to get the footage. And then they get back in there like, that was an amazing idea, but why didn't you tell us about it? You know, like we could have done this with you. And so, exactly. So, I mean, moving forward from that, it's like, hey, let's have those great ideas. Let's go there. Let's talk about it beforehand and then roll with it.
So entertainment team, right, there's 4 main people, but players are tied to that.
Yeah.
And then you said 40 other people. Like
there's 40 cast members that come in. So we bring in people we bring in DJs. We bring in our Mananas, the Banana Nanas, you know, our mascot. We've got Princess Potassia. You know, we've got all these different kinds of characters that come in and are part of the entertainment team, too.
Do people like give you ideas all the time?
Oh,
I assume constantly. I'm going to shout out to Adrienne Jansen. She had a good idea. She sent a meme. There should be a band called you sent her to her? The Two Bananas. I think that's hysterical.
Like bananas with a band. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
As you guys go to some of these MLB stadiums, would you ever have an MLB guest player?
Totally. It's happened.
Oh, it has. Before. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. And I'll kind of lean back on baseball's not my sport. I don't know the names. I'm really bad about this, but there totally have been some. There you go.
Yeah. Jeez. They've had a. I'm trying to remember some other names. So, like, John Cena was in Tampa.
John Cena was in Tampa. Yep.
That was a big surprise.
That was fun. We had one of the Backstreet Boys come to Savannah all the time.
Which one?
Bless.
Tell me why.
Oh, man. Don't do that. That was so awkward. I apologize for that. We don't make edits, though. That's going in the show.
Edits.
Let me look at the clock here. Okay. A couple of minutes to the commercial break. So, entertainment team, right? Then you have social media team. You said about four people doing that. What other?
Well, specifically on the digital side, and then another five videographers that influence. So 10, 11 on the whole marketing team.
Okay, so marketing team, entertainment team.
What else?
I'm saying, like, what else is there?
So the biggest thing that we do, or I guess when you're looking at our business, like, yes, we're putting on a show. Yes, we're entertaining. We're capturing that content. But we also want to make sure people are there. So that somebody is helping to figure out how are we allocating tickets? How are we selling tickets? So we've got a whole team that's facilitating that ticket operation. And then we also have a pretty expansive, you know, merchandise team, right? Where the number of full-time people who are involved with that isn't super massive right now, but the impact that has on our fans is huge. So those are the kind of the three big pieces of what we do from a business standpoint. And then obviously you have other departments that help support that. So we've got a department for the World Tour specifically that helps facilitate all the travel, working with all the stadiums that we're going to, having those conversations with municipalities and talking through, like, hey, like, how are we going to get there? Once we get there, what's the plan? How's the stuff going to get there? All those different pieces. So the World Tour team helps with that. We've got our people and culture team that helps out. And then we also have a...
That's your team.
That's my team.
Are you the boss?
I wouldn't say I'm the boss.
You're the leader. I don't like the term boss either.
No, I certainly
wouldn't. How big is the people and culture team?
So there's two of us specifically just in people and culture, but there's two other people that... Mary sits on our World Tour team, but she kind of facilitates between people on the World Tour.
Mary and Marie? Does that get confusing?
It's really hard. And we've got someone named Marin as well, so lots of M's. But Mary helps facilitate all of the game day staff that come in and work during all the events that we have not in Savannah. And so, for example, when we go to Houston, there are 280 people that she's been connecting with over the last couple of months that are going to come in specifically to work that game.
Are these local to Houston Okay, so you're finding people there will be jumbo shrimp staff at the game tomorrow, or are you bringing in staff?
Yep. So the stadiums that we go to typically work.
Sorry, I'm just.
Yeah.
I could have just said that, by the way.
Typically run most of their food and beverage operations. And then the staff that we're bringing in, they're coming in to help our merchandise setups and then scanning tickets to get people inside.
Okay. I told you the time would fly by. The first half's already over. Marie Matzinger. I'm going to call her the Ringer. I'm trying to think of a nickname. I like nicknames. Marie Matzinger, the Ringer. Director of People and Culture with a company called the Savannah Bananas. Maybe you've heard of them, but they are in Jacksonville this week. We're going to get her to say Duval by the end of this episode. By the way, that's What the Hell Just Happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you missed the first half on the radio show, good news, you can catch the full episode on your favorite podcast sometime in the next couple days. I don't know what day it is. Technically, we're live on Saturday. It's Thursday. So who do you predict? There's a game today in Jacksonville. There'll be one Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Who's going to win on Saturday?
On Saturday?
Can you predict the future?
I'll go bananas on Saturday.
Bananas on Saturday? What do you got, Trey? Who's winning?
Party animals.
I'm a party animal. I love this logo, by the way.
You said on Saturday specifically.
Okay. Good. Today, right now, live. This is after the game. We're filming it. So, director of People and Culture with the Savannah Bananas, Marie Matzinger. I don't know if I like the Ringer yet.
Okay.
But that's all I got.
Open to negotiations.
Yeah, we'll think about it. So I mentioned... Healthy or not healthy? Healthy or not healthy, drinking wine while licking envelopes.
Mentally healthy.
Mentally healthy. Joey's got
one. I got one. Healthy or not healthy, grown men dancing on stage in banana tighty whities.
Healthy.
It was totally.
Dancing. It's cardio.
All right. Healthy or not healthy, brown stained Savannah banana.
Unhealthy. Unhealthy.
It is coffee.
I hope so.
By the way, you know who's Val Strebsifer spilled that? Those are Scott Smith's underwear, by the way, that I got to mail him. Everyone signed it, and his wife spilled the coffee on it.
healthy or not healthy, the future of Fans First.
Healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, the first 3 years of Fans First.
Healthy for what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You learned a ton.
Learned so much.
Here you are today.
Yeah.
In, again, the most popular sports in the United States, as far as I'm concerned. Trey, you got something you want to add over there? You look deep in thought.
No, no.
He's
sorry.
He's the token camera guy over there.
I'll think about duct tape. I'm sorry. Like, when we were talking about the first 3 years.
I brought a roll of duct tape that I left in the car. Okay, let's go back to Healthy Cultures, which, again, just an incredible organization. We had talked about on the commercial break there, you know, the commercial break for the radio show. I love making fun of that. We're sitting here in the Jumbo Shrimp Stadium. Adding value for fans, right? So you're trying to develop your own ticketing platform because of the issues with scalpers.
Yeah.
Can you talk through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that, you know, ticketing platforms are set up in general is that they are really designed for third parties to capitalize off of transfer of tickets, sale of tickets, but it's not necessarily the people who, it's usually at the cost of the people who are going to those events, right? There's a lot of passed on fees. There's a lot of, you know, every time it changes hands, somebody's getting cut of it. And so that is something that from day one has been the antithesis of what we stood for. We really set out to just add value to the experiences that we were creating, to the point of if you're going to a game in Savannah specifically, your ticket is going to have all you can eat food and beverage on it. It's something that we felt like if you add that value into ticket, we can sell that ticket at $30 per person because it's a no-brainer if you're going to be getting dinner and all your water and your soda and all that kind of stuff included with it.
Yeah.
It's something that there is value built in.
Much cheaper than going to the movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Especially with family. You know, you've got multiple people going and you don't have to figure out how to hand the credit card off to the 10-year-old so they can go get, you know, a Sprite or whatever.
$12 water.
It's really easy for them to eat, right? And so it's really easy for people to just say, hey, yep, go for it. And sometimes, you know, there's other things available for purchase, like, you know, Dippin' Dots or a pretzel. There's additional things that are
healthy or not healthy. Dippin' Dots.
Again, mental health.
I love Dippin' Dots.
They're good on a warm day.
Still the ice cream of the future. It is.
20 years later, right. Still ice cream of the future. That's incredible. I think, you know, we talked about it too. Trey mentioned it's harder to get tickets to a Savannah Bananas game right now than a Taylor Swift concert. That's the case he makes. Those are the two up there. I'd put those two side by side, by the way. What's the wait list in Savannah for season tickets right now?
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there's a lot.
250,000, I think.
It's a lot. I think in general it's over a couple million.
And the stadium holds, you said 5,000 people.
Yeah.
Do you ever foresee doubling the size or?
So the way the stadium's laid out right now, the footprint doesn't really allow for that. We added 1,000 seats this year, so that's a big step. Every other time the stadium has gone through renovations in the past, it's actually been to take out seats. And so this has kind of been the first time that that's not been the case. So it's something that, like, yes, it sounds really like exciting that there's this wait list, but for us, it's kind of frustrating because that just means there's that many more people that we're not able to give that experience to. And so we still owe those folks a way to experience Bananas, whether that's through watching a broadcast online or coming to the stadium on a non-game day and getting to, you know, interact with somebody who's just walking around. And so it's definitely something that, like, yes, it's exciting that that many people are interested, but it's also this kind of burden of, well, how do we alleviate that?
Yeah. So very professional, by the way. I did not set a timer for the second half. Is anybody tracking the time on this? We're definitely going over. Merchandising. Were you going to chime in? So you guys asked a question.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we first met, we talked about waiting lists for tickets, but also waiting lists for employees.
Right.
Do you still have that?
Yeah, we do. So with that, it's not something that, hey, all right, the next 100 call, you know, it's your time to get a job. But it's something where people can go in and basically say, hey, I'm interested. Here's my strengths. Here's what I would like to do. Here's my resume. And then anytime we know we're growing and we know that that person isn't already in our circle of folks, we're going back to that list of people and kind of coming through, like, what, you know, who said they're interested in e-commerce? Who said they're interested in tickets, you know, and really figuring out, like, who those folks might be. And then from there, maybe only, you know, 20 people have said that. Well, it gives us a starting point of reaching out to those folks and saying, hey, if there's an opportunity, would you be interested in chatting through it? And so we found quite a few of our rockstar teammates through going through that process.
Do you, you know, the tickets at the meat market at, like, Publix or the deli? That's not what it's like when you're hiring.
No.
Like, you're number 47.
You're up next. Your time has come.
Oh, not healthy. Merchandising. So Well, let's talk about the office too. We met you guys in the new location. I don't know when that was, a couple months ago. Time is a blur. I don't know. You just got a 40,000 square foot merchandise center.
So we originally, our offices were at the stadium, and we ran our merchandise essentially out of a shipping container in the outfield, right? And as fans got more interested in what was going on, we started going on tour, and people began to really recognize the brand. And, like, you know, if they couldn't get a ticket, the next best thing is that jersey in the house.
Right.
So we very quickly outgrew the one shipping container. It turned into two, turned into three, turned into a she shed in the back that we had people packing, literally. There was a 20,000 square foot building actually across the street from us that had 4,000 of that square feet. It was a warehouse in the back of it. And so it was in really good timing and really good location. And so we were able to end up purchasing that building in October of 2022. And we've already outgrown that warehouse space. And so now there is a 40,000 square foot warehouse space that we're renting from one of the old malls in Savannah that is facilitating our merchandise. Yeah.
What's, I don't know if you can answer this or not, what percentage of revenue is from merchandise?
I don't know.
It's got to be.
It's when you're looking at from a business standpoint, how our revenue is generated, it's merchandise and it's tickets. That's it. And so it's really simple.
Again, I'm just fascinated by it. It's so cool. It's so fun to follow. Like Academy Sports, they have, you walk in and there's just swag everywhere,
right?
Banana stuff. The merchandising stuff, that's revenue year round, right? When you travel, like, are you guys bringing a she shed to come with you?
So we
I like that term.
Load up. We load up 18 wheelers basically with supplies and gear and all of it. We used to bring it in cardboard boxes and folding tables, and now we actually have cases, you know, kind of like the Pelican cases that are designed to have crates that we can stack merchandise in, and then they become the displays as well. So that's really cool. So we bring, depends on how many fans are going to be there, but anywhere from one to three different trucks that are truly dedicated to merchandise.
Are you like over banana swag? How many of your drawers is filled with banana stuff?
I have one that's totally full. And then I have, and that's just, you know, t-shirts from the last, I mean, I've been here for 8 years, like eight is almost 10. But you know, every
80%,
a 24-hour release shirt, like it's a limited design. I'm like, yeah, I gotta have it, you know? And so, so I've got a whole drawer of, you know, bananas t-shirts specifically. And then, 8 years worth of polos that we wear for games as staff.
What's your husband's name?
Taylor.
Is he swagged out?
Oh yeah, for sure. He has probably as much as I do as far as the gear goes. And anytime there's something that's like the Hawaiian shirt or, you know, all over it. Yep.
Does he have brown stained banana underwear?
He does not have underwear.
That's one.
I will say that's one area that we're
I'm framing that thing on the wall.
I don't have a question about merchandising.
Yep.
Go ahead. Do you have brands that reach out to you guys to do collaborations? You reach out to them? So, like, you guys recently did one with Baseballisms, I saw.
Yeah. So every now and then we'll partner up with folks. We work really closely right now with Wilson and EvoShield. There's a relationship. They help outfit, like, what our players are wearing specifically. And so there's definitely ways that we do that. Honestly, it kind of comes down, we were talking about partnerships earlier. Like, it really comes down to, does it make sense? Is it on brand? Is it in line?
Every single time, it's fans first. You say that constantly. It's slapped everywhere. And I like that when you talk about, like, I ask, like, what about sponsorships? If you go right here at the Jumbo Shrimp, there's 15 companies plastered everywhere.
Yeah.
That's not part of what you do because you said it doesn't benefit the fans.
For us, no. You know, it's something that I think for most sports teams, like traditionally when you're looking at the sports industry, that sponsorship revenue is part of how they're able to operate.
That's how they keep the lights
on. It is absolutely how they keep the lights on, right? And so we were really fortunate that wasn't necessarily the case, and we were able to take a little bit of a harder look and ask ourselves, hey, are the partnerships that we have right now fans first? This was 2019, right? Several years ago. And through some really hard conversations internally, we kind of came to that conclusion that the way we were doing it really wasn't. And so we took a step back in 2020 from traditional partnerships, and have since then started working with a couple brands that really are able to create cool experiences for our fans. We work with Zappos a lot. They love our tour. We're not sponsored by them, but they love the tour. And then we also have a great relationship with Dunkin' Donuts. And so in a lot of the cities that we go to, we get to do meet and greets at Dunkin' Donuts. We get to have, you know, different things where fans are able to come in and thanks to that relationship, have an experience. And so we're open to it just very selectively.
There's, man, again, there's just so many cool stories to talk about. What about experiences? So, you know, kids fighting cancer, what are one or two stories that happen and you're like, you could not get emotional about or excited about?
Oh gosh, I'm a crier. So this is a little emotion. We're with as many people who, you know, are paying attention. And I think the way that specifically our media team pays close attention to what people are saying online, we have a chance to really listen to the stories that people are telling. And so while we can't do something for everyone that reaches out and says that, there are certain relationships that we're able to kind of just kind of double down and like do something very, very cool for. And so we have, here we go.
Do it. You'll be this, you know, the only person who's cried on the show, Trey. So
I did, talking about a big cry. Former boss.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So there was a young man named JJ who, I'll spare all the details, but ultimately was fighting, a disease that was going to take his life. Right. And so, through just did our interactions with him, we had some opportunities to have him come hang out in the dugout, and the guys got to really get to know him and know his story. And it turned into where we were able to actually have him at several games. And the relationship that was created was so much more than, you know, a fan following a player, right? Like our whole locker room just became so invested in him and his story and just the journey that he had gone through. And unfortunately, he did pass. And just the response from when we have to tell our team, you know, when that goes on and people hear about it. We had several people who actually flew to his ceremony, and he wasn't local to Savannah, and so they went out of town, out of their way to make sure that they were there because that relationship was so important. It had nothing to do with the Bananas. It had nothing to do with our organization. It was about JJ.
I have chills right now. Trey's choked up too.
Are you crying?
I'm already tearing up over here.
We're criers. I'm okay with it.
Healthy.
Totally. Yes. My wedding, I bawled. It was so bad. I still hold him that down. Man, that was heavy. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Let's go positive now.
Right. Swing.
I got one for you. How do you feed these guys?
Oh, yeah. And how much do they eat?
Good question. Gosh, you know what? When, for the first few years, that was one of the things that I wore as one of my many hats, was helping to figure out how we were going to do player meal. I'm going to tell you what, that was the most stressful part of my job that I have ever. As many of us have had hard conversations, figuring out catering was the hardest because we were duct tape, right? We would trade those meals for marketing and that kind of thing. And there wasn't cash exchange. And so effectively, these restaurants had no skin in the game. Like if they showed up with half of what they told you they were going to show up with, it didn't matter, right? You couldn't see on old accountability. And so, gosh, it was always, in the same restaurants could be amazing one week. And then the next week, it's hard. It's hard. And it's not to anyone. I don't think anybody was trying to do us wrong. It just was, it was just such a, you never knew what you're going to get. It was so stressful. Anyways, now we actually pay for catering to make sure that we're getting what we're supposed to get.
What are you feeding them here in Duval?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
It's a surprise for
us to find out. Yeah. Okay. You got to let us know.
I will certainly.
Angie subs. That would be solid. They're out of the beach. Holy crap. I forgot what I was just going to say.
I got one.
Okay, true. What?
It might be a barbecue place.
Maybe.
Because there's a player whose uncle is tied to a barbecue place in Jacksonville.
Maybe.
And
Four Rivers? Oh, Mojo's. Oh, that's great. We did talk about
last year, too. I think that
Mojo's is great. Free shout out to Mojo's, by the way.
Shout out.
Let us do your benefits.
Yeah, man. Let's go. What about travel for the guys? Is it planes? Is it buses? Is it a little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything, right? So obviously we didn't fly 2 hours down 95, so we're busing this weekend. But when we go to Fresno, we'll definitely take a plane, right? So it depends on how long that bus ride would be. If it's going to be more than 8 or 9 hours, then we're definitely flying.
Let's talk about hats. That's what I was going to talk about. What, we got 9 minutes left? So not these sweet hats, by the way. A lot of cool hats. You'd mentioned anyone who starts a business, you go through this journey, you wear all these different hats. What hat were you most excited to take off and give to someone else?
Catering.
Besides catering. You already said that. Yeah.
That's
tough.
It is tough. I way back in the day helped with our finances. And so, which honestly was just QuickBooks, right? I was just matching stuff up in QuickBooks. But very quickly realized that maybe a 22-year-old shouldn't be doing that for a team that's selling out games. And so that one was an easy one to hand off for sure. I mean, I enjoyed pieces of it, but as it grew, there's no way that that would have been what really filled me up.
What hat are you most excited to wear currently?
I love the people and culture hat. I love being able to work with our folks on figuring out, like, what are their skills and how does that play into the success of our team? What does that look like long term? How are we utilizing the people who we have creatively? You can't just say, okay, cool, we take any five people and make this thing happen, right? Like, you've got to be able to know
who right butts, right seats.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yep. And so I love being part of facilitating those conversations, making sure people feel like they know what's expected of them, making sure they feel like they understand what success looks like for them specifically or for their department specifically. I love that.
Are you a reader? Like, do you enjoy reading? Mm-hmm. Have you read the book Traction?
I'm not.
Okay. We got to give her a copy of that. It's a great book for that. People and Culture, again, talks about putting the right butts in the right seats. There's a program, it's called EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System, and it's just kind of like a business efficiency thing. A lot of businesses we work with, you said. Great book. Don't let me forget to send her one of those. We're going to forget to send you one of those.
That's okay.
Adrian will remember.
I'm on Amazon. I can order it too.
So what are you most stressed about on the world tour? Or the team collectively? It doesn't have to be you.
Yeah, I think that what's really challenging is that there are pieces that we don't control, right? So when we're in Savannah, we can control the full experience. We can control what parking looks like, what food and beverage looks like, what, you know, entry and exit look like. We can control all of those things. And so when something goes wrong, it is solely because, you know, we've not done something that either we had planned to do or it just didn't work out like we had thought it was going to, right? When you go on the road and you're going into other people's places, it's these stadiums are a lot, they're outfitted so much more elaborately than our stadium is, right? And so there's a lot of like pluses that come with that.
I got lost walking up here, by the way.
I mean, it's so cool. Like, it's so cool. The challenges are is that when people are coming to a Bananas event, but it's not at a Banana stadium, there are still pieces that we're not controlling what security looks like. We don't have any influence over what that first impression might be. So, for example, we were last year on tour. There's a security guard that's standing like right next to the gate and basically like, you can't have that bag. You can't do that. And like, that was the first thing people were hearing. And so, we don't have any,
that's not a positive experience to start with. Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? You know? And so we can send all the emails, we can send the information ahead of time, but it's going to be a friction point. And so I think that's really hard. Yeah. Is not controlling some of those pieces. I don't know that it's necessarily stressful. I think you kind of carry it a little differently.
I have to, I'm going to write down friction point too.
Yeah.
How much time we got? 4 minutes. Gosh, time goes too fast. So I'd be guilty if I didn't bring up, you know, again, we've been fortunate to work with you recently, but investing in your employees.
Yeah.
Like, we have 212 benefits. We have what we call ideal clients.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain thing criteria. One of them is like someone that's invested with us. It's a partnership. But how are you guys investing back in your staff? Because you, like, what you do for your employees is unheard of. I mean, if every company did that, again, how could you not lose employees?
So, right.
Like, how are you investing in the employees?
If you look at it from a benefit standpoint solely, we pay for 100% of the premium for people's health insurance. It's something that you have to have health insurance. It is so important. And that's one thing that we can take off the plate of responsibility for our team. And so after a year, 2 years, 3 years, we will phase in dependents as well. But from day one, there's no vesting time period. From day one, if you're a full-time employee with our team, we will cover that premium. Obviously, you still pay your copays and all that good stuff, but we take care of the premium. And so our team, we have a lot of folks that this is their first job, and they have never had all insurance taken out of a paycheck.
I don't know.
They might not know, right? And so we can talk about it. I mean, I haven't. It was my first full-time job. I'm on this side of it where I get to see exactly what that means from a dollars and cents side of I could be paying, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that it was something that Emily and Jesse and Fans First in general already had from day one of knowing, hey, this is the right thing to do by our people. When we talk about Fans First, yes, we're talking about the fans that are coming to the stadium tonight, tomorrow, you know, next week in Houston. We're talking about those people, but we're also talking about people who are working for us. People who are working and are part of our team, like, they are our biggest fans. They're engaging with the brand and the organization even more so than the fans that are on the wait list or that are in our K Club. And we want to make sure they're taken care of too.
Take care of your people and they will take care of your clients.
Yep.
You all do a great job. What other ways are you investing in your staff? Any training development stuff?
So we're in the process of rolling out right now. It's very early on. We're in the process of rolling out a leadership development program that is more focused on particular people and figuring out how we are able to really grow people professionally and individually. What we've realized over the last couple years is that it's really hard for people who have worked somewhere else to come into our space because we do things so differently. And so if we're able to really grow our leaders internally, we think that's going to serve them and us well in the long run. And so we're trying to figure out what that looks like. We're exploring certain things where it's, you know, paying for StrengthsFinders, Clifton StrengthsFinders test, or taking people through actually like getting a business coach and matching them up with one of our teammates. So it's somebody who's external to our organization, but that we know and trust from a wisdom standpoint to lead and guide and listen to frustrations that somebody may be having.
Have you done StrengthsFinder?
I just did it yesterday.
Do you know your top five?
They were all, achiever. It's a lot more of the execution side.
I'll be curious to see who they are.
Yeah.
I bet you and Adrian have some similar ones. Do you have WOO, winning others over? I just like saying woo.
Oh.
We're almost out of time here. We're going to chime some in, Joey, or about what do you see in the future? Like, right, so you just added the firefighters.
Yep.
What else do you see in the future that you're like, I think this is going to happen, I'm excited about it?
We're going to keep finding ways to entertain people.
Explosions.
Explosions, yeah. We joke about Bennett, like, to the moon. We've got, you know, an Excel sheet that talks about, like, okay, who do we need to bring on to make all those things happen? And it's titled To the Moon. But honestly, it's just how can we engage more people? How are we able to, people are asking for it. How do we meet that demand? Like, we feel like we owe it to them. And so, from a practical side of things, it's probably playing in larger venues so that we're able to engage more people. There also are ways that we're developing the party animals out more. And so there will be able this year, especially the summer, party animals will be headlining a game and the bananas will be headlining a game on the same day. And so able to impact twice the number of fans on that one day because we're in two different places doing it. And so
who do the bananas play if they're not playing the party animals?
So a couple different options there. There's actually a team coming in from Australia called the Drop Bears. They came last year. So they had
Bears.
Drop Bears.
Okay.
Yep. Like the koala.
Yeah.
It was such a fun time with them. So we're playing with them. We'll probably field a fourth roster, not of a branded name or anything like that, but we will probably start figuring out who are good people to have on the bench for.
I was going to say, we're going to assign too, but like, what's the demand look like for players? Like our
people reach out, yeah.
Retired college baseball players coming out.
Yep.
Probably can't make it to the league.
Yep.
But I mean, what's that demand like? Same thing?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So there's a.
Do they have deli tickets in their line waiting?
Deli tickets are waiting. But they audition, right? So it's like, yes, like they try out, but they also audition.
What does that look like? Do they have to sing and dance?
They have to dance, of course.
Oh, show us your talent.
Yeah.
I think
that's
right.
What makes you different? Like, find a way to stand out, send in a video.
I'm going to dance, but you can't play baseball.
I can play baseball.
There's an age limit. Oh, my gosh. No one's following me on any social media platform.
Right, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyone you want to give a shout-out to, thank? We got to wrap it up, unfortunately, because time flies by.
Gosh. Here we go. I told you I was a crier.
Oh, yeah.
Emily, Jesse, and Jared, our leadership team in general, like, they have just done such a good job of preparing people and really allowing them to grow. Like, taking a chance on a 22-year-old.
Still here. Still kicking butt.
Something like that.
Duct tape, baby.
Duct tape, baby.
So, yeah, Jesse, Emily, Jared, thank you for being awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. I'm just mad that we're out of time. So,
you got to do your outro.
Oh, yeah. So, we got the ringer from the bananas, Marie Matzinger. That's so cheesy. I apologize. That was great. Director of People and Culture with the Savannah Bananas. That's What the Health Just Happened.